being shaped to serve. And that's what this is all about. A lesson series, not only that, but a theme about two things. Now, as I mentioned a moment ago, this is the last lesson this morning in this lesson series we've been doing, but the theme, we continue on with that, okay? We don't want to just stop with that. We want to continue to allow God to shape us and serve us, because what it's really all about is allowing Him to do that for His purpose. We need to allow God to shape us so that He can use us for what He wants to use us for. And that's what this whole thing has been all about. Gave you a reminder, a little reminder gift for you, and hopefully just a reminder to you. Put it out somewhere. Use it every day. Look at it to remind you that what you are doing is allowing God to shape you and to mold you to what He wants you to do. It's a daily reminder, okay? So just continue to use those things. Just because we stop the series of lessons doesn't mean you stop focusing on these things, okay? So, our goal for the year, as we've been saying, and our focus, what we're trying to do, is to become better, more useful servants to Christ in His work that He has for us to do. And this is the big part of all this, is learning to trust Him. Allow Him to trust in Him to direct our lives for, again, His purpose. We become God's hands, His feet, His mouth, His ears. We become the physical part that allows us to share the work of God and to do what He wants us to be doing. We can only do that when we allow Him to mold us and shape us to what He wants us to be. This morning, as we finish this series of lessons, we're going to focus on the text. We're going to go a little bit before that text, by the way. We start out in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, talking about treasure in jars of clay, because that's exactly what we have within us. We talk about being veiled or unveiled. The glory of the old covenant. We go all the way back to chapter 3 and verse 7, and look at what Paul has to say there in making a comparison of the old covenant to the new covenant, and kind of helping us to understand the importance of the treasure that we really do have contained within us. So he begins in verse 7 by saying this. Now, look at what he calls it, a ministry. If the ministry that brought death, that's how he refers to it. Well, what is he talking about? Well, he says that ministry which was engraved in letters on stone. So it's very obvious he's talking about the old law, the Ten Commandments being the basis or the foundation, but the law of Moses. He refers to that as a ministry. We need to understand that first of all. It was a ministry for the Israelite people, given to the Israelite people for them to share God's word with the world. But that ministry, he says, brought death. Why? Because they did not obey the word from the heart. Okay? But he says, and his point in all of this is that ministry, though it brought death, that was engraved on the stones, though it brought death, look at what he says, it came with glory. Well, what does he mean by that? Well, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the law, his face was glowing. It was shining. So much so that he had to put a veil over his face. And then after a while, that glory faded and Moses was then able to remove that veil. But here's what the scriptures tell us, what the Israelite people tell us, that the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone and Moses put the veil on his face again. So that every time that Moses went into the tent of meeting to commune with God, he was into God's presence. When he came out, his face was glowing because he had been in the presence of Almighty God. And so Moses, that old law, that old covenant came in that way with glory. But every time that glory would fade after a while. But what about the glory of the new covenant? Paul goes on to discuss that. That was the old covenant. If that ministry, he says, that brought death came in glory, then he says, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even, look at this, more glorious? If the ministry, he says, that condemns men is glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry, and that's supposed to be brings righteousness. That's an error on my part. But it brings righteousness. How much more glorious is his point of the new covenant that we have in Christ than the old covenant? It came in glory, but this one comes in a different kind of glory. If you will, a better glory. Why? Because that glory, at least in part, will never fade away. Even to this day, he goes on to say, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. So again, here's this contrast he's making between the old. In other words, those who still, even today, rely on the old covenant to try to follow, and we've talked about this before, those who say, well, all you got to do is follow them, keep the Ten Commandments. That's all you got to do in order to be saved. No, that's not true. The Old Testament, the Ten Commandments, were part of that ministry that brought death. It was never intended by God to bring life. It couldn't bring life. If it could have, there would have been no reason for Jesus to come and to die on the cross. For those today who still want to hold on to that old covenant, whenever it is read, a veil still covers their hearts. But whenever someone is brought to the Lord, that veil is taken away. Because they're able to see the glory of that new covenant in Christ Jesus. He goes on to say this in verse 18. And we, who with, look at this, unveiled faces. Okay? We don't have to hide our faces from anything. With unveiled faces, all reflect the Lord's glory. And I like this next part. Because he says we are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory. Are being. That's in the present tense. Okay? So what that means is that it is happening right now. We are being transformed into the likeness of Christ. And then it is with ever-increasing glory. So it's not a situation where we get to a point where we can stop and say, okay, I've got all the glory of Christ that I'm ever going to have. I'm there. I've arrived. If you ever get there, you better be careful. Okay? Because what He wants us to understand that in Christ, that glory of Him is ever increasing and we are continuing to be transformed into His likeness. I don't know about you, but I need to be transformed on a regular basis. See? I need to be. Because, and Darrell and I, we were talking about that a little bit this morning in my office before everybody showed up. We were talking about how, you know, as we go through life, we meet new challenges and we experience different things we've never experienced before. And that requires us then to allow God to continue to transform us into the likeness of Christ in those new situations and circumstances and things that we deal with that we have never dealt with before. That perhaps a lot of those things we just simply don't know what to do. You ever found yourself like that lately in dealing with stuff? I don't know what to do here. And so I'm glad that God in His wisdom and His glory and His mercy continues to transform me into the likeness of Christ as He knows and sees what I need in that transformation. And in that, it is an ever-increasing glory that He is transforming me in that way. What an awesome, awesome God we have. Amen? So what Paul is doing in this first part is showing a contrast between that old covenant and the new covenant. And look at the things that are pointed out to us in this particular section. Under that old covenant, we have a fading glory, but under the new, it is an unfading glory. It never will go away. Under that old covenant, that ministry that brought death, even though it was a ministry, it was not suited to bring eternal life. It was never designed to, and indeed it was transitory. In other words, it was temporary. But under that new covenant, that brings it brings us eternal glory and eternal life. That old covenant, that old ministry, he said, brought death. But that new covenant, that new ministry brings life. And that old covenant, that old ministry that was given serves as a veil, and it indeed is hiding God's glory. But under that new ministry, that new covenant, that serves as a mirror that indeed reflects the glory of God. And that old ministry, that old covenant that brought death, it prevents Christ-likeness in those who are unsaved. But that new ministry, that new covenant in Christ Jesus produces Christ-likeness in those who belong to Him. So Paul wants us to understand the difference between these two covenants, these two ministries, and what they were able to accomplish and are still able to accomplish in the case of the new ministry under Christ. And then his point, in beginning in chapter 4 and verse 1, tells us that we, that is you and I, us-ins, we-ins, whatever you want to call it, we have a ministry, he says. Well, how does that ministry come to us? He says, by God's mercy. And that's one of the important, it's really easy as you read through this text right here to miss this part. Okay? It's really easy to just kind of glide over the mercy part of it, but we need to always remember that what we have is totally and completely based on God's mercy. Why we have the opportunity for salvation is because God is merciful. And so in His mercy, not only does He save us, but He gives us some work to do. Okay? What is that ministry really all about? It is quite simply the ministry of the Word. You see, we've been talking all along through this series of lessons about being molded and shaped for God's purpose in our lives, right? Well, ultimately, what is that purpose? It is this ministry. The ministry of the Word. That's what it was in that old that ministry that brought death. You thought, what was that? It was God's Word. Okay, the old law. But now we have a new ministry. Not based on law, but based on mercy. And that ministry is of the Word of God. And Paul goes on to say then in the next couple of verses, we don't use deception, that is, in sharing the Word, nor do we distort the Word of God. In other words, we don't try to impress people with it. We don't try to water it down. We don't try to make it so that it's easy for people to swallow. We just simply share the Word of God. And so, therefore, it is not by distorting and not by deceiving people, trying to tell them something that the Word doesn't really say. We tell it to them plainly. And then look at this statement right here, verse 2. On the contrary, instead of trying to distort it, instead of trying to water it down or any of those kinds of things, he says, on the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. In other words, it's the understanding and the realization that what we need to be doing in this ministry that God has given is just put the Word out there in its truth, in its plain, simple truth. And leave it up to every single person to decide whether they're for it or against it. Okay? Are they going to accept it or are they going to reject it? That is up to each individual person. So therefore, it's part of the understanding, and we hear people complaining about that, you're trying to force your religion on me. No, I'm not trying to force. All I'm trying to do is offer it to you. It's your choice. I'm not going to force God's word on anybody. He never did. He didn't force his word on anyone. But what I do is I share it plainly. Okay? Give the truth. Don't water it down. Don't hold it back. And let each person decide for themselves whether they're going to accept his word or whether they're going to reject it. And that's what Paul is really saying here. Okay? You leave it up to every man's conscience as to whether he is going to accept or reject the plain and simple truth. The reality is that there are a lot of folks, the majority of people in the world, who will not accept the truth for various reasons. But that should not, and it cannot, stop us from sharing it with as many people as we can, because that is our purpose. That is our ministry that God has given to us. It is a ministry of the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Share the truth. And then finally, what about these jars of clay? This treasure in jars of clay. What is that really all about? Well, Paul says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not us. And that is a reminder to us to remember, to realize and know that what happens in the exchanging of God's word, when somebody accepts that, it is because God has opened their heart and mind, and it's not our power, it's His. It's not about me, and it's not about you. It's about God and His purpose for your life and for mine, which is sharing the truth of His word. Even my standing up here before you and preaching, not my power. It's His. We share the word, we have to remember that. And if we will remember that, one of the results will be that it will keep us from being so afraid to share His word. It is not about us, it's about Him. Rely on His power. You don't have to be afraid of how somebody's going to react or respond as you share God's word with them. It's all about His power. We need to understand that at first. That belongs to God, not to us. Interesting thing about this whole idea of clay pots. Historians tell us that people back in that time, when these words were written, would oftentimes hide their valuables in just plain old clay pots. Okay? Something that is very simple, and you know, who would think to look there for something valuable? It's kind of like today, you know, you have all these places that they give you to hide stuff. You know, like you've seen the little false outlet that you can have in your wall. You know, but it's not really an outlet. It's, you pull it down and it's a little compartment there you can hide stuff. Or what about the fake box of Wheaties, you know, you can have in your cupboard? You know, that who would think to look through your cereal boxes to see if there's anything valuable in those? It's just Wheaties, right? You know? So there's all kinds of common, simple places to hide things. And back then, folks would just use plain old clay jars or pots to put something in that they wanted to keep. Maybe wanted to keep away from other people. Okay? Those jars, being plain and simple and unattractive, would not draw attention to themselves, in other words. Well, God has put His valuable word in us, the clay pot. That's what Paul is referencing to. That we have this treasure. What is the treasure? It's God's word. and he's put it into clay pots, us. The ones that, as we've been talking about throughout this series, the clay pots that he's been molding and shaping for his purpose. And so he's put that treasure into us. Not to hide it or keep it from anyone, but to show how simple vessels can be used for a very precious purpose. You know, one of the questions that a lot of people have been asking and wondering, and we just kind of do this as folks, we want to know, what is God's purpose for me in my life? We try to look and to figure that out and we pray about it. And the reality is we've been talking about throughout this study, God has a different purpose for every single one of us. And He molds us and makes us into the vessel that He wants each of us to be for the purpose that He has for each of us. And that purpose is very different for every single one of us. So in that regard, personally, God can have a different purpose for every single one of us. But in speaking of this treasure in jars of clay, that is God's purpose for all of us. In other words, I don't know what God's purpose is specifically for you in your life in this time, in this circumstance, but I do know that this is part of His purpose for all of us at every time in our life. Is to be the jars of clay that contain His Word, that treasure, that we're able then to share with those who God brings into our lives. That is our purpose. To use our earthen vessels to carry the Word to the world. Think about it this way, and I like this particular illustration here. Jesus over in Matthew chapter 5 tells us that we all are the light of the world, right? Okay? A city on a hill, he says, cannot be hidden, and neither do men light a lamp and put it put it under a bowl, but rather they put it on a stand where it gives light to everyone who is in the house. In the same way, he says, so let your light shine before men, so they will see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. And what each one of us have within us as the pots, the vessels that God has molded and shaped is the treasure of His Word that we are to allow to shine forth from our lives so the world can see their way to Jesus through us. The way that we live our lives for Christ. Remember being made in His image and being changed, continually transformed more and more into His likeness, that our light will continue to shine brighter and brighter so that others can see Christ in us. Look at what he said. He goes on in this part. And this is an important part we've got to remember, right? Paul says we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not given to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our body. That's what he's talking about. Allowing our light to shine, the light of Jesus shining in us so that others can see their way to Him. And what is he talking about here? The reality is that as we do that, as pots of clay, vessels that He has created, well, we're going to get chipped, we're going to get scratched, we're going to get cracked along the way. And that's what those hardships are all about. You are not going to live in this life without facing a lot of that kind of stuff. And you are certainly, especially not today, going to be living your life shining for Jesus and not get some cracks and bruises and dents and all of those kind of things, because the world is becoming more and more against Christ. So we're going to get cracked and broken and all of those kinds of things as we live out our life for Christ, but we have got to press on sharing the treasure anyway. That's what Paul's point is. No matter what the hardships, no matter what those things that we go through, don't stop. Because your purpose and my purpose is to share that treasure with the world. God has placed within us His heavenly treasure. The simple earthen vessel, that's what we are. But given a heavenly task, that is to carry the treasure of the life-saving word of Jesus to those who are lost. As we conclude this series of lessons that we've been in, I hope that we've been able to impress upon you a couple of things. First of all, to know that God is the one, remember, He is the potter. He's the one that gets to make us and shape us and mold us into whatever He wants. But remember that it is for His purpose, not for us. And it really is a matter of learning to trust Him to get ourselves and our purpose out of the way and allow Him to use us the way He wants to use us. Because the value of the treasure that He has placed within each and every one of us is something that cannot be overemphasized in how valuable it is. But understand this, that treasure that is placed within us is not intended to be hidden away. It is intended to be shared. As we conclude this study, conclude this series of lessons and these things, again, we're going to keep on focusing on these things, but these lessons hopefully cause you to think about, what are you allowing God to do with you? Are you allowing God to put you on the potter's wheel and mold you and shape you into the vessel He wants you to be? Or maybe are you resisting His will? Maybe have you been saying to God things like, but I don't want to be that kind of pot. I don't want to do that. I want to do this. Or maybe you've been saying to God things like, well, God, if you would just do this for me, then I'll be willing to do that for you. Remember, we talked about that. If that's where you have been, then I urge you to repent of that and just allow God to mold you and shape you into what He wants you to be. We want to help you do that. We can't help you if we don't know what's going on. So we offer an opportunity for anyone to be able to come and say, hey, I need some help with this. I need prayers with this. I need guidance with this. I just need to study some more. Whatever it is that you need, we want to do the best we can to help you with that, that you can become more and more like Jesus. If there's someone here this morning who's not yet given your life to Christ, and you need to understand and know that your sins are continuing to separate you from Him. And unless you have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism, they'll continue to do that. And if you die in that condition, you'll be separated from God forever. And that's why in this opportunity that we offer this invitation for anyone who's not yet a Christian, you can become a Christian right now, today. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, then call upon Him as your Lord. Confess Him as such. Repent of the sin that's separating you from God. Have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. We got water ready, don't we, Chuck? It's ready. It's warm. It's warm. It's warmer than it would be if it were cold. Point is, we've got water ready. You don't have to wait for any special occasion. If you desire to be baptized into Christ Jesus, you can do that right now. Dale will be in the back to receive anyone if you'd like to have a private prayer or conversation with him back there. And I'll be right up front to receive anyone if you'd like to respond. Whatever way we can best serve you, all you got to do is let us know. Let's stand together and sing.